Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. Always happy to be here with you all. And you know what? This week marked the fifth anniversary of the first time I would have hosted this program. So congratulations to me on 5 years. Thank you. Got the party favors. I'm wearing a party hat right now. If you can't hear it, there's fireworks going off in the background. I mean, this whole place is just abuzz with celebration. As a matter of fact, there are so many cakes in my honor that I have two of them around my feet because I just couldn't avoid stepping on them. Anyway, if you want to thank the people who make this program possible, go to mainstreetbandnetwork.com, show some support there. They got, getting some hits on that webpage is enough to boost it in the Google search algorithm. But you can also go to their contact page and send some messages there to us, complaints, hatred, or celebratory messages, whatever. We'll either read it or ignore it or whatever, depending on what's in there. And you can also find podcasts for the show up there. But while you're on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, you can check out The Al Nathan Show, because I host pretty much, I don't host every show every week, mind you, but I do host at least one show every week for The Al Nathan Show. So you can check out podcasts for them as well. They're on Spotify, and that's probably a better place to check the podcasts. Like, you'll see a different podcasting platform on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. They're also on Amazon Music, by the way, if you got that. But the one on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, it works well with the website. It works and plays nice with the HTML coding. That's the reason why it's there. Even though it's slightly inferior in format, I think it leaves out like half the shows because it's a two-hour program, but you only get 1 hour of each show with that particular podcasting choice. But again, it actually works with the website, so you know, better have half the time than none of the time, right? So Amazon Music, Spotify, all great places for The Al Nathan Show. The Silk or Joe Show, however, it's only 1 hour, so the entirety of the program gets to be posted on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. And we're on social media as well. You might see me posting on Main Street Radio Network's Facebook page on occasion, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, and whenever I guest host host The Al Nathan Show, it's X at Al Nathan or X at Main Street Radio. You'll find updates about when I'm hosting or who's hosting that day. GetterGETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show, which is woefully, desperately needs updating right now. Gee whiz. Anyway, in fact, probably over the holidays, I will be not updating it at all. I will probably totally forget to update it because that's what I do. I'm very forgetful about social media. That's why I'm not the social media person. Anyway, I know one person who's a social media person, and that's President Trump. He gave a nice speech, primetime address, as everyone was calling it. And, you know, Democrats are out there saying, oh, he's desperate. Even though he's outlining the successes of his administration, Democrats are coming out and saying, oh, he's absolutely desperate. Well, the problem is, wouldn't that be the case for Joe Biden back when he made his primetime address, where he was standing there? You remember the red lighting, the Marines standing there flanking him in the back with the harsh red lighting and the harsh lighting on him, making him look all the much the dictator. And he was out there declaring anyone opposed to the Democrat Party was a terrorist. You remember that primetime address from 2022, right? So it was quite the scene there. I would say that was more of a desperate man because, boy, by that time, it's already 2022 and their lawfare wasn't quite working. The Trump movement hadn't been quelled yet. And I guess that was really in preparation for the midterms, wasn't it? That was to discourage voters from going Republican in the midterm election, which it didn't quite work now, did it? Not the way Democrats thought it would. They were expecting a blue wave, but ended up not being much of a blue wave, did it? Although Republicans, I believe, were expecting a red wave as well. Everyone was expecting a wave that year. Everyone did the wave, but that's why it broke. Anyway, speaking of delusional Democrats, we have, I don't know, this quote from Congressman Jamie Raskin, Democrat out of Maryland. You might recall he's the one who, back in late last year, he said that there would be terrible consequences if Trump was elected, but Democrats still held the House of Representatives. He said they would not certify the election if Trump were democratically elected.
Democrats would defy democracy. They would fight democracy. They would cause an insurrection. They would do exactly what Republican voters, some of them wanted, most of them wanted the House Republicans to do in 2020. They would refuse to Democrats would refuse to certify the election. Now, recall, that was considered an insurrection at the time, right? But in 2020, when Republican voters were out there, stop the steal, all that, that was considered insurrection itself. And then it just was compounded by the stuff on January 6th. But to even oppose the election was considered insurrection at the time, before January 6th. So now you have Democrats, this Jamie Raskin here, pledging to do the same thing if Trump were democratically elected in 2024. And he admitted on camera, he said, yeah, it's going to lead to a civil war, so what? I don't care. We're going to be protected, you're not. Quite the thing that you want to hear from your democratically elected leader, isn't it? Just so blasé and dismissive about civil war. But this latest statement by Raskin is also pathologically incorrect and crazy for anyone who has a memory. I'm surprised CNN let him get away with this remark. He was on CNN's The Source when he said this. Quote, the whole reason we've got the Affordable Care Act is because the Republicans insisted that the insurance companies be a part of it. Wait a minute, though. Republicans were totally excluded from the process. It was the Democrats who had the insurance companies write the Affordable Care Act. There wasn't a Republican involved in that. They were not a single Republican voted for it. It was entirely partisan party line. You look at the hearings, the Republicans were just dismissed. It was a joke. So how is he claiming now that the insurance companies had to be a part of it when just to satisfy the Republicans, when that didn't work, when there was no such thing going on? But it was just a sweetheart deal written by Democrats and the insurance companies. He's just trying to gaslight you all into thinking, oh, we had to do this for the Republicans who didn't vote for it and were totally excluded from the process. Rather crazy, but I guess I can understand why he would say such a thing, because his own party hates the insurance companies. Remember, there was that United Healthcare CEO last year who was assassinated, right? Majority of Democrat voters were in favor of that. They thought that was a good thing. So that's where his party is. That's where their head is at the moment. And if you consider that, how violent that can be, how much threat of the threat that can be, you can understand now why Jamie Raskin might want to distance himself from his past, right? Distance himself and the Democrat Party from their past involvement with the Affordable Care Act, which was a sweetheart deal to the health insurance companies, basically. And now he's also, that's something else too that he's doing. He's advocating Medicare for all as the solution to this, right? Well, that was argued by Republicans back when the Affordable Care Act was passed. They were saying this law was deliberately designed to fail, and they were talking about death spirals and stuff like that, which the subsidies, I guess, ended up covering up and papering over. Death spirals back in 2014 was when that came up, but in 2016. But yeah, so they really want to distance themselves from this because it was a sweetheart deal to health insurance companies. But at the time, like I said, Republicans were saying, oh, this is paving the way to single payer. It was designed to fail so that we would get single payer. This is designed to fail so that we will have Medicare for all. And lo and behold, you have Jamie Raskin saying, well, the Republicans built the Affordable Care Act. It's not even Obama's legacy anymore. It's a Republican's legacy, because the only way the damn thing was going to work was to keep the insurance companies involved. And Obama claimed it 100% owned it. Democrats 100% owned it at the time. And Republicans distanced themselves. Yet now we're learning, oh, wait, the Affordable Care Act, actually, it is from the Republicans. Pay no attention to your memory from 15 years ago. 15 years ago is a long time in politics anyway. I mean, what's next? Is he going to blame the Republicans for resisting voting party line against the Civil Rights Act in 1964? Come on. But, I guess that's all they can do right now is lie and hope that their base is too stupid to do any research and realize that they are being lied to, that the Affordable Care Act, as it is, was designed by Democrats, for Democrats, and insurance companies. Oh, that music means we are out of time for this segment. We've got more Silker Joe Show coming up after this break, regardless of if I'm going to lie about my past or not.
for last-minute gifts to power up the holidays and bring everyone together, the Nintendo Switch 2 system lets you connect with friends and family in real time and discover ways to play together with must-have games. Race through interconnected courses and sprawling vistas in Mario Kart World. Explore a vast underground world by smashing your way through it in Donkey Kong Bonanza. Live an untold tale from the Legend of Zelda saga with Hyrule Warriors, Age of Imprisonment. Take the field in EA Sports Madden NFL 26, the realest Madden NFL game ever. Battle beyond the underworld to vanquish the Titan of Time in Hades 2, Nintendo Switch 2 Edition. And with the Nintendo Switch Online Plus Expansion Pack membership, you can access exclusive benefits, select DLC at no additional cost, and even more classic games to play with or against your friends online. Learn more at Nintendo.com. Nintendo Switch Online membership sold separately, required for online features. Auto renews unless canceled. Terms apply.
Rated E to T.
We sell products made out of paper, toilet tissue, and local newspapers. That is in order of quality.
The documentary crew that immortalized Dunder Mifflin in NBC's long-running comedy The Office finds a new subject to follow. In the Paper, now streaming on Peacock, the same documentary crew is back to chronicle the team behind the struggling newspaper, The Toledo Truth Teller. Led by new editor-in-chief Ned Sampson, the show follows Sampson and his colorful co-workers, including former Dunder Mifflin employee Oscar Martinez.
How many of you have actually written for a paper before?
I wrote a paper in junior high.
Not quite the same thing.
I've tweeted.
You've tweeted?
I'm in a group text.
This is terrific.
Certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, The Paper was the number one streaming original comedy on Peacock this year. Catch The Paper, Mondays at 8:30, 7:30 Central on NBC, and stream the entire season on Peacock.
Holiday shopping is in full swing, and many families are looking for ways to make their budgets go further. Research from Profitero, a third-party analytics and research firm, revealed the retailer that has delivered the lowest U.S. online prices for the ninth consecutive year. With more, here's lifestyle expert Justine Santanello.
During the holidays, shoppers want to feel confident they're getting real value. Profitero named Amazon the lowest-priced online U.S. retailer for the ninth year in a row in their annual Price Wars study, showing families can save on everything from gifts like electronics and toys to everyday essentials.
The study reviewed more than 10,000 products across 23 retailers and found Amazon's prices averaged 14% lower, with up to a 5% advantage over the next closest retailer in key gift categories.
Maximize holiday shopping by comparing prices and using member savings. Amazon also offers seasonal deals and is making it easier than ever to find top gifts at amazing prices this season in the holiday shop.
Learn more at Amazon.com.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. And we are joined for this segment by Steve Gorham. He is Executive Director of the Climate Science Coalition of America and author of four books on energy, climate change, and sustainable development with over 100,000 copies in print. His last book is Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. Steve Gorham, happy I'm on the show again. How are you today?
Hi, Joseph. Great to join you. I'm doing well.
Yep. Good to hear. So we have this interesting idea about these data centers that they're being opposed by environmental groups. Now, I thought AI was supposed to be the wave of the future, and it's like the leftists in big tech are slobbering all over it. But then I guess fellow, and I thought they were like
very green folks out there in Silicon Valley. So how are their data centers so pollution filled that these environmental groups are coming out? And even Senator Bernie Sanders is calling for a ban on data center construction.
Yeah. Well, you're right. The big guys, they call them the hyperscalers now. They're building these data centers all over the country. Microsoft and Google and Amazon, Meta, Facebook, and others. And they all have goals to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I think Microsoft has a goal to, 2030 to be net zero or zero emissions. The problem is that they admitted, I think it was last year, that their carbon dioxide emissions had increased 40% in the last 5 years. And so they're building all these data centers now, and the data centers need power. They need a lot of power. And increasingly, this power is coming from natural gas plants. There's a new trend called a BYOP, bring your own power. And gas plants, and in some cases nuclear, are being built right on the site next to the data center to power it. And this, of course, natural gas causes carbon dioxide emissions. We also have coal plants that are being extended past their deadlines to have enough power. So, as you say, we just had 230 environmental groups set a letter to Congress calling for a halt to data center construction in the U.S. And that is really a huge kind of a thing. This year, the big guys, again, Microsoft and Amazon, Meta, and who am I missing, Google, are spending $380 billion on data centers. And this is a total that's bigger than more than 100 nations' gross domestic product in a year. So this is a huge trend, and now they want to halt it. And just this week, Senator Bernie Sanders also came out to urge a ban on data centers. And he was saying, you know, this is something for the 1% and makes the billionaires richer and not necessarily for the common people.
Well, can that not be said of any new technological innovation? I mean, at some point, the internet with which he made that statement, if he put it out on Twitter or social media somewhere, at some point, the internet was just a rich man's plaything.
Yeah, I think that's the case. Any new development, we have people that are going to put those products out, make a lot of money. But, you know, this is maybe 2026 is the year that the Progressive Party in the United States is parties are going to line up against data centers. And that would really be a huge battle coming up. By the way, some of the groups that were that sent the letter to Congress calling for a ban on data centers, included environmental groups such as Friends of the Earth U.S., Greenpeace USA, U.S. Climate Action Network. But there are also Democrat Party organizations, including the Progressive Democrats of America, the New York Progressive Action Network, and the Seattle Democratic Socialists of America. So we may have a big battle shaping up here. There are some issues that are concerning about data centers. They use a lot of electricity. They use a lot of water. But the key there is to have the data center builders put in facilities to provide more power, for example, so that local electric bills are not going up.
Yeah, and I can only imagine, too, you know, you build a data center in a place like California where their grid is already terrible. You know, not only do you have to worry about the electric bills going up, you have to worry about the power grid going down.
Well, that's right. And California has a very high electricity rates, second highest in the nation right now. So I think a lot of these data centers are being located elsewhere in places like Iowa and Indiana and Louisiana, Pennsylvania, where the electricity prices are not as high, because that's a big factor in what they're doing. So California may miss out on some of this boom, but it is really astonishing what's going on. At the start of 2024, there were about 2,700 data centers in the U.S., and now there are over 4,000, less than 2 years later. So it really is an astonishing thing what is going on. And we'll just have to see what this does to our society. There's a lot of concerns, but we're in the artificial intelligence revolution, and a lot of data centers out there getting built.
Yeah, and for all this talk about how environmentally unsound our data centers are, it's better to build them here than the alternative of building them somewhere offshore where, you know, the environmental regulations are going to be much more lax if they even exist at all.
Well, that's true, but we have the current government, by the way, is all in for data centers. They want us to beat China. And so, this is going to be a big, big thing here. I think, I have a I have an image which I like to show when I present to groups. It's a picture of this big tidal wave, 70 and 80 feet tall. And I say that's the artificial intelligence revolution. And then at the bottom of this tidal wave is this little tiny sailboat. And I say that's net zero energy policies. And it is going to get washed away by what is going on here with the artificial intelligence revolution.
Yeah. I mean, at this time, the technology just isn't there for them to achieve that net zero goal and create these massive data centers. But they don't really want to get behind them data centers, and maybe they'll use the data centers and the AI that is being, I guess that's the brain for the AI, to figure out how to make the data centers net zero once they're built.
Well, wind and solar just fall short. You need a 7-day-a-week, 24-hour kind of power for these data centers. And the other thing is these companies want to set them up quickly. Tesla set one up in less than a year near Memphis. And they used 35 gas turbines to power it. If you're going to go out there and put in wind and solar, you have to get lots of land all over the place, up on ridges and farms. You got to connect them with transmission. It takes a very long, long time. And so many of these new data centers are opting for just to build a gas plant right on their site, and they don't have transmission issues. And it can be done much more quickly.
I find it interesting, too, that you're mentioning natural gas being used, because I could have sworn that that was pitched as a clean energy alternative at one point.
Yeah, well, it does actually reduce emissions. I like to say that when we had a big transition in the U.S. in homes in the 50s and 60s, my grandfather had a coal furnace in his basement, as many people in Chicago did. And after it snowed, within 4 or 5 days, there would be a black film on top of the snow. And in the spring, they would do spring cleanings. They would literally wash all the inside of their walls to remove coal dust. But when you put in gas into a home that was burning coal or burning wood, you reduce the particles by a factor of 1,000. And so the air is much, much cleaner. So gas in many ways is very clean, but the environmentalists still don't like it because it emits carbon dioxide.
Hmm. I guess eventually, once we are on wind and solar, I'm sure they'll find fault with that too. But Steve Gorman, appreciate you being on the Silk Road Joe show. And again, listeners, he is executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America. And his latest book is Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. 10 seconds left. Where can we find a copy of that book, Steve Gorman?
Thank you, Joe.
Glad to have you on, listeners. More Silk Road Joe Show after this break.
Nearly 1 in 3 U.S. medical students are now training to become doctors of osteopathic medicine. Dr. Robert Kane, president and CEO of the American Association of Colleges of Osteopathic Medicine, shares what's driving the surge and how it's shaping patient care.
Getting a routine appointment is becoming harder for many Americans, especially outside major cities. Demand for everyday and preventive care keeps rising, and many communities don't have enough physicians. Osteopathic medical education is helping meet that need by preparing doctors through whole person care, communication, and prevention, the skills patients rely on in clinics and hospitals. Our new study shows that osteopathic medical schools strengthen local economies and train physicians who often serve rural and underserved communities. It's a proven pathway more students are choosing because it prepares them to deliver the primary and preventive care patients depend on.
Find more information at acom.org. That's AACOM.org.
99% of the time when a child goes missing, it's a misunderstanding between parents, grandparents, nannies.
I will do whatever it takes to get my son back.
Peacock's thrilling new series, All Her Fault, stars Succession's Sarah Snook as Marissa Irvine, a woman forced to live out every parent's nightmare.
Marissa arrives to pick up her young son Milo from his first playdate, but the woman who answers the door doesn't have Milo and has never heard of him. Deep secrets come to light as Marissa's seemingly perfect world is left shattered. The show features a star-studded supporting cast, including Dakota Fanning, Jake Lacy, Michael Pena, Jay Ellis, and Sophia Lillis. Certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, All Her Fault premiered at number one on Peacock and marked the streamer's biggest debut ever. It was also recently nominated for 2 Golden Globes and 4 Critics' Choice Awards. Stream the entire season of All Her Fault now on Peacock.
The holidays are upon us, and that means office parties, entertaining friends and neighbors, and holiday gatherings with family. But hosting can be overwhelming. If you're in charge of the turkey this year, help is just a phone call away. Butterball Turkey Talk Line expert Andrea Balatevich tells us more.
The Butterball Turkey Talk Line is in its 44th year, and there are more ways than ever to reach us. We have over 50 experts standing by to answer your questions by phone, text, social media, or chat at butterball.com. We are here to help determine how much turkey to buy, how long it will take to thaw, and how best to prepare it to both wow your guests and enjoy time together. We'll be available at the Butterball Turkey Talk Line until December 24th, should a turkey emergency happen. No matter how you plan to host, the Butterball Turkey Talk Line is here to help. Just call 1-800-BUTTERBALL.
Find more resources and information online at butterball.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Always a blast to be here with you all. And I was ragging on Jamie Raskin, the delusional Democrat congressman from Maryland, who was saying Republicans designed the Affordable Care Act. Apparently, I mean, that's news to me. I was alive at the time. I could have sworn that it was Democrats who designed it and excluded Republicans. And, you know, I did check over who voted for it, and not a single Republican senator voted for it. Maybe he was confused by this one Republican from Kentucky. I think Rand Paul replaced him. This one Republican senator from Kentucky who did not vote on it, who was absent or voted present or something to that effect. But maybe that's what confused him here. That he's just check the roll call votes here to take a look here what this guy's name was and what he did. It was a B was his last name. And sure enough, Bunning, he didn't vote at all. According to Senate.gov, their roll call votes record here of the Affordable Care Act vote in Congress, Senator Bunning, Republican out of Kentucky, did not vote, and that's the only Republican who didn't vote no against it in the Senate, yet Raskin, Democrat congressman from Maryland, is claiming that the Affordable Care Act exists because of the Republicans. The Republicans were the ones who wanted the insurance companies to be a part of it, even though they weren't going to vote for it anyway. I mean, at that point, if you know they're not going to vote for it anyway, why did you do that? Why would you design it around them if they're not going to be a party to it, right? It doesn't make much sense. And then again, not much about it makes much sense, but at, like I said in the opening segment, at the time, people were saying this was designed to fail so that we would be forced onto a single-payer system like Medicare for All, which Raskin is currently proffering as a solution to the Affordable Care Act crisis, which Democrats created. And let's go to the subsidies now, which were an integral part of the thing. This act would not work without the subsidies. That was a key component. Remember, when Republicans voted to strip the Affordable Care Act of its subsidies, Democrats said, no, you can't do that. This is how it works. You're gutting the act. It won't work if you strip the subsidies. So now you have Raskin saying, oh, they aren't even necessary. They were just in there to appease Republicans. Well, wait a minute. The thing that you said, what, 9 years ago was a core component, 8 years ago was a core component, you're now saying it wasn't necessary and was just added to appease the Republicans who didn't vote for it and who eventually removed them anyway. I mean, I'm sure some Democrats out there believe that Republicans would flip-flop like that, but certainly they would be concerned about Democrats caving in to Republicans and putting those things in. And then remember what happened where the Affordable Care Act subsidies were renewed. That was a straight line. Republicans opposed it. Democrats wanted it. And they were only given a shelf life of a couple of years. That, again, was entirely by the Democrats. What are they going to do now? They're going to say that Republicans are responsible for that, too, when they were entirely excluded from the process, much like with Obamacare, or when this thing was passed in the first place. Like I said in the opening segment, they're just trying to shuffle off blame for this whole disaster. Because first of all, Democrats have midterms coming up next year. They want to win, so that they don't want their name to be smeared by their own involvement in the Affordable Care Act and the disaster that's turning out to be with the subsidies. Second of all, they know how pissed off their voters are at the health insurance companies, so they don't want to be seen as helping them. And I mean, gee whiz, like I said in the opening segment, the United Healthcare CEO was assassinated. Majority of Democrat voters thought, hey, pretty good thing, actually, that happened. We're not against it. We're not against this kind of thing. And earlier this year, I've talked about it before on this show, on the Alan Nathan show, but Fox News reported on how some Republican congressmen were coming to them and saying, we are terrified of our own voters. They don't just want to be violent. They want us to be violent along with them. They want to see their own congressmen getting bloody fighting in the streets against this Republican fascist regime and what everything like that. So, you know, Raskin might be running scared of his own voters, and that's why he's trying to distance the Democrats from the Affordable Care Act and what Democrats did to build it. And like I said, this happened on CNN where he made these statements, but CNN, they didn't push back. They didn't care. And you know, I guess it's the same Democrat mentality that tells you, on the one hand, you're racist if you want to put illegal immigrants off welfare programs, but also we don't have them on welfare programs because they're illegal immigrants and therefore they don't qualify for them. According to Breitbart, 59% of illegal immigrant families take some kind of welfare in this country. 59%. Now, you got to imagine there's a couple million, 20 million, 10 million, 11 million, the number keeps changing, illegal immigrants in the country, and 59% of those families are taking welfare of some form, despite Democrats saying that that's impossible, but also you're racist if you oppose it. So I guess if you think that it's impossible for illegal aliens to take welfare, but at the same time you call someone racist for trying to take welfare away from illegal immigrants, if you can keep both those ideas in your head, that they have it and it's racist to take it from them, but also they don't have it at all, then maybe you can keep the idea in your head that Democrats were entirely responsible for the Obamacare, which the Affordable Care Act, Obama's signature legislation, built his way without participation from the Republicans who opposed it every step of the way and tried to repeal it and then gutted it by removing the subsidies. You can keep that idea in your head, but also keep the idea that it was built to appease the Republicans and Republicans wanted it or whatever crap that Raskin's trying to say.
Talk about a backflip, though, to try and distance yourself away from your own work. It's crazy how that happens, though, you know? We've seen that in the state of Virginia, though, here. I seem to recall that Democrats approved a casino being built or some rule about slot machines within a certain radius of casinos or whatever. And then they came out absolutely opposed to it after they approved it. And the only reason they oppose it is because of the Republican governor. That's it. That's the only reason they opposed it, because the Republican governor, by law, had to implement this law that Democrats had passed while they ran the state. So then Democrats saw opportunity. Hey, we can blame all of our faults on this guy, which is what they're doing with Trump now. And these subsidies, you know, why do we care? What's this big deal with the subsidies? Well, it's like $1 trillion, these temporary subsidies that the current fight is over. It's $1 trillion to the insurance companies, which paid $400 billion to the Democrats to support. So I guess that's why Raskin's doing this stuff. He's a trained CEO performing, doing his jumps for his little fish of $400 billion that the health insurance companies tossed his party's way. So he's trying his best to get any kind of support he can, just like the rest of the party is trying to get any kind of support they can for it. Yeah, you got to wonder about those four Republicans, too, who wanted there to be a vote, a clean vote on the subsidies. How much money did the health insurance companies toss at them? Or are they just Republicans in name only and broke with principles because they have none? Anyway, it is telling. I didn't see Marjorie Taylor Greene's name in that group of four, which I thought was interesting, because isn't she the one who said she would vote for the subsidies because of how they help? But, like, the subsidies, though, our healthcare system is so terribly flawed that the subsidies are just a way to paper over it so that you, the consumer, doesn't see the actual prices. Like, when they talk about the health insurance prices going up because we don't have subsidies, you're actually still paying those subsidies or those prices. You just have the help of the rest of the country. You have the help of taxpayer money. And the only reason those prices get so high in the first place is because health insurance companies know they can bilk you. This is no different than back when the Biden administration announced subsidies for electric vehicles to the tune of like $2,000 or $3,000. The companies making those electric vehicles jumped their price by exactly that amount. It's no different than that. Health insurance companies are given these subsidies, and instead of passing the savings on to you, the consumer, they just pocket the money and keep your rate the same. They can lower the prices. They don't need all this money, but they won't. And just look at the reason why Democrat voters were so opposed or were so in favor of the UnitedHealthcare CEO's assassination. The reason they have such a dim view of insurance companies is because they know they're sitting on all this money, getting fat off of it, making millionaires and billionaires. But the people who are on insurance aren't getting anything from it. It's like 3/4 of healthcare-related bankruptcies are people who are insured. Insurance companies look for any reason they can to deny your claims. And good Lord, look at the deductible you have to pay before you can even get coverage. It's like, what, you're paying $300 a month. I'm just going based on what it was in 2016 and why I didn't get health insurance. It was $300 a month with a $5,000 deductible. That was the cheapest that was offered in 2016. You can imagine what that is in today's money with inflation and all that. Probably is like $350, $400 a month in today's money with, what, a $6,000 deductible. But that's what the Affordable Care Act was offering as its cheapest plan for someone who was making $28,000 per year at the time. So, like, that's what, below the poverty level or something for a single income household? Yet I was, the cheapest I could get was $300 a month with a $5,000 deductible. Like, anyone with making that much had $5,000 laying around for the deductible, right? But that's the cheapest that was offered, and that was with subsidies. The insurance companies are just pocketing this cash, and they're not passing any savings on to you. Now, I don't know what this is that Trump's talking about with these reforms that he's talking about that are going to reduce healthcare prices or whatever by however much. I'm very skeptical of any way to do it, because and the only way is to break the insurance companies, break the health insurance or the health industry complex. Medical industrial complex is what we're stuck in right now. And the only way to break it, to save money for the consumers, is to break its back. Single payer wouldn't do that. More Silver Joe Show after this break.
I scream into the void.
Last Sunday, musical comedy fans across the nation tuned in for PBS's new hit, Happiness. The series stars Harry McNaughton as former Broadway director Charlie Summers, who's back in his New Zealand hometown helping his mom run a community theater group. With spirited songs and just a touch of drama, Happiness is the laugh-out-loud show families can enjoy together this holiday season. Happiness star Harry McNaughton.
Poor Charlie had a professional setback, and he's desperate to return to Broadway, but he's pulled into directing this amateur production of The Trojan Horse. On this Sunday's episodes, I believe you'll really feel that desperation. And I must admit, the songs are quite catchy.
Don't miss two brand new episodes of Happiness this Sunday at 8 p.m., 7 Central on PBS. And streaming on PBS.org, the PBS app, and with PBS Masterpiece on Prime Video.
Listen to what I say.
New AARP research shows loneliness is hitting midlife adults especially hard this holiday season. 4 in 10 people over 45 say they feel lonely. Heather Naraki, AARP's Vice President of Fun and Fulfillment, says chronic loneliness can happen to anyone.
Risks of loneliness increase with a shrinking social network, spending lots of time alone, and mental and physical health challenges.
AARP's study found loneliness peaks for adults in their 40s and 50s when work, kids, and caring for aging parents all collide and social circles start shrinking.
Technology can help or hurt. Video chats, texts, and online communities can help keep us connected, but they can't replace meaningful in-person interactions. Small steps, like checking in with someone, planning a walk, or just saying hello to someone new, can really make a difference.
For tips on staying connected during the holidays, visit aarp.org/connect. That's aarp.org/connect.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs each year from October 15th through December 7th, and it's an important time of year for the millions of Americans who already enjoy Medicare coverage. It's their chance to compare plan options for 2026. We know that Medicare coverage can be confusing. One thing I recommend to help navigate through the process is really focus on two things, cost and coverage. For cost, you want to consider things like the plan's premium, deductible, copay or coinsurance. And for coverage, you should look not only at the medical coverage, things like hospital and doctor visits, but also prescription drug coverage and any extra benefits. The annual enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. It's a great time to compare those cost and coverage of the plans available. Lots of options to consider for your Medicare choices in 2026. To help you navigate, I would recommend starting with a visit to MedicareEducation.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. And for this last segment, we are joined by someone I met at CPAC back in February, Gary Barb. He is presidential candidate for 2028 and ran for city council in Santa Clara, California as a strong Trump-supporting candidate and managed to draw 23% of the vote in a three-way election in a district that was only 17% Republican. So that's 6% over what you would expect, especially in a heavily left-wing district. Gary Barb, happy on the show. How are you today?
Hey, Joseph Patterson, how are you, my friend? Can you hear me? I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. Can you hear me right, my friend?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. So tell us about the Santa Clara election a little bit, because that's interesting that you managed to get 6% of the vote. I mean, when was this?
Well, I got 23% of the vote in the Santa Clara City Council.
6% of the vote more than the Republican members of the district. Sorry, I meant 6% more than what the Republican total was.
Well, there were about 17% Republicans in the district that I was running in, per my memory, and I got 23% of the vote. But, you know, that is a long time back. I don't know if you introduced me to your great viewers and listeners. Obviously, my friend, you and I met at the Austin. Please give a quick 10-15-second introduction to your great viewers and listeners. By the way, great state of Arizona. There's events going on today, right? The 2025 Turning Point USA event. And I'm actually calling live from the Phoenix Convention Center here, my friend.
Oh, wow. So how's that event? What are you seeing there?
Well, it's just fantastic. A lot of great American patriotic people here. The media row starts in probably another hour and a half to 2 hours. And big energy, a patriotic energy, and some really tremendous people here. But let me quickly introduce myself to you and your great viewers and listeners, my friend. Obviously, we have a quick 5 to 10 minute interview. As you know, my friend Joseph Patterson, my name is Gary Barr. I am a huge supporter of our President Donald J. Trump, a proud Republican of the Republican Party that belongs to our President Donald J. Trump. And I'm officially running for President of the United States of America in the 2028 election to help President Trump make America great again, keep America great, and to help him save America. And my friend, I'm running because I love President Trump. I love our country, the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. I love our great American people. And like I said, I want to save America. And I will say this, my friend Joseph Patterson. I respect all religions, but I'm Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I believe the Bible is the word of God. And I genuinely believe that Jesus Christ is with President Trump. Jesus Christ is with our country, the greatest country in the world, the United States. Christ is with you. Jesus Christ is with me. We're going to save America. And as you know, my friend Joseph, I fought against criminal gangs and cartels such as MS-13, Frente Aragua. You know, not been demonstrated ever in the history of our country and on the planet. And it's a great honor for me to be interviewing with you, my friend. Happy to answer any questions that you have for me.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. I mean, with this enthusiasm, I would have to say that you are definitely most likely to be one of the ones to carry on Trump's legacy much better than some of the other folks who might just be in it for, you know, they're already politically established. They already have their brand. They already have, you know, their years and years of doing whatever in office. I mean, look at Vice President Vance, for example. While he has come out as a Trump supporter, initially he wasn't. He was totally against the man. And so that raises questions about where he's going to be in the future. But you have a definite positive enthusiasm here.
Well, let me say this. I mean, the enthusiasm, I mean, if anyone's doubting my enthusiasm, I think they're completely on the wrong track. I could not hear you right. Your line's cutting in and out a little bit. But let me say this. I think you mentioned J.D. Vance. I've politically attacked J.D. Vance and a lot of people. I think you also mentioned that there are some candidates who are a little bit more politically established, I think is the word that you used. My friend, Joseph Patterson, obviously you and I met February 2025, right, at the Awesome Seat.
Yes.
But after that, I've interviewed my friend with probably about 35 to 40 media networks across the country. And, you know, incredible regional media networks, incredible national media networks, RSBN, Epoch Times, and a lot of networks. It's been a fantastic start to the campaign. And, you know, I'm most definitely at a completely different level of name recognition. And I'm not saying this in a pompous capacity, right? I'm saying it as a matter of fact.
Well, actually, when I said politically established, I meant more like their ideas on policy.
Every 2025. But let me quickly say this. You mentioned J.D. Vance. I heard you say J.D. Vance. Look, I've called J.D. Vance a doofus. I've called J.D. Vance a docile cheek, beta male, as the 2028 potential opponent in the 2028 election for President of the United States of America. And look, let me say this. I support and respect President Trump's decision to select J.D. Vance as the vice president. I have nothing against that decision. Talking about the 2024 election cycle, I have nothing against that decision. I love President Trump, and he made the right decision. I'm saying for the 2028 presidential election cycle, J.D. Vance, in my opinion, just does not have the personality to be elected president in the 2028 election cycle. And I have really politically decimated him, and I will continue to do this. Look, this is a political battle, my friend, and I'm in it to win it. Like I said, my friend Joseph, I'm the most courageous person on the planet on the political side. I will prove it right now. My direct message right now, and I know we have a quick interview, so I'm going to make it quick. My direct message right now to MS-13, Trende, Aragua, Sinaloa cartel gang members is get the hell out of our great United States of America. If you don't, we will incarcerate members of your gangs. Or I, Gary Barb, as the 48th president of the United States of America, will kick members of these gangs out of our country. My friend Joseph Patterson, I'm ready to take a bullet for you. I'm ready to take a bullet for our American people because I want to keep you, our great American people, safe and secure. Let me say this, my friend. Law and order, in my opinion, is the very fabric that keeps our country the greatest country in the world, along with many other reasons, my friend Joseph Patterson, such as American exceptionalism, American patriotism, the personality that our great American people have. I know you and I met at CPAC 2025. I know you have a fantastic personality. And American entrepreneurial spirit. These are some of the reasons why America is. And I will say this unequivocally 100% of the time, 24/7, 365. America is and always will be the greatest country in the world. And so my point is, you know, I've had a lot of tremendous success for my campaign. We're going to go for me to be interviewing with you live from the awesome Turning Point USA America Fest 2025 event, my friend.
Yeah, I love that enthusiasm and fire that you bring. It's something that, well, you've only seen really in Trump. I mean, the other politicians, they just don't have it. They just seem kind of lackluster, you know?
Well, I like that you say that. Look, I mean, I will say this. By the way, sounds like, Joseph, you might endorse me at some point, and I'll take it, my friend. And I sort of say that tongue-in-cheek. But let me say this. I've politically fought against, on the political stage, politically attacked a lot of people, right, who, in my opinion, will run against me in the 2028 presidential election cycle. On the, let's talk about the corrupt Democrat Party elected officials, right? Gavin Newsom, dumb as a rock Kamala, Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, J.B. Pritzker, who is this round-shaped, circular kind of a guy, Illinois governor. These are awful, pathetic, corrupt people who will destroy our country if they get anywhere near the White House. And I, Gary Barb, love President Trump, love our country, and love our great American people. And I'm risking my life for our country on a daily basis. I love our country.
I'll leave it at that. Unfortunately, we are out of time for this program. But Gary Barb, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. Listeners, our website is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.